Welcome to the Excellence in Church Administration podcast, informing, encouraging, and supporting your church. Your hosts are Michael Martin and Dan Busby from ECFA.
Hello, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to this very special interview for the ECFA podcast. I have the privilege of spending a few minutes here with Michael Blue, the Executive Director and General Counsel of the Ron Blue Institute. So our conversation today is all about stewardship, what it is and what it is not, and the need for your church to have leaders who are intentionally focused on ministering in this area. But before we jump in, I do want to just say a big thank you, Michael, to you for joining us. You and your father, Ron Blue, and really your entire family have been such a gift to the body of Christ. I know I say that on behalf of so many of us, and you've just been such a friend to ECFA over the years, and we appreciate you so much. So, Michael, why don't you just get us started here by sharing, maybe for those who aren't as familiar, a little bit about you and the ministry of Ron Blue Institute.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for having me, Michael. It really is an honor to get to be with you. I've been familiar with your ministry for a long time, and we love what you do at ECFA, and know so many churches and ministries have been blessed by what you guys do. So, on behalf of all of us, just thank you for all that y'all do.
Hey, well, thanks, Michael. It is really our pleasure to serve.
But to answer your question, the Ron Blue Institute began, it's actually fairly new. It began about 4 years ago. And as most things go, you end up with a large stated goal. But our desire is to be what we'll call a thought leader that influences the way Christians think, act, and communicate about their financial stewardship. And ultimately, that will result in empowering the church, the local church, to send people and to eventually change the world for Christ. So we desire to give biblical wisdom to the church body in a way that is practical and easy to apply, but in ways that can really affect their heart and change how they interact with money. So that's really who we are.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And you guys do such a great job, like you said, just in terms of not only being a thought leader, but being able to communicate what can be some pretty sensitive topics and also some that can be more on the technical side. You guys do such a good job of communicating that in a way that really connects with people's hearts and, you know, do that in a way that's easy to understand. So in many ways, I think as you and I have interacted over the years and talked, just really sensed a kindred spirit between ECFA and the ministry of Ron Blue Institute. And so just again, yeah, privileged to have you guys here. And I know a lot of your focus at RBI really relates to stewardship, which is what we're here, you know, to talk about for today's podcast. So maybe why don't we just get started, Michael, by defining or, you know, explaining to folks when you guys think about stewardship at Ron Blue Institute, what does that mean to you? How do we define stewardship?
You know, the interesting thing about stewardship, I think, over time, it's a beautiful word if you look back at how what it means. But over time, I think in the church, it's begun to take on a different meaning. And people hear stewardship, they immediately think giving or perhaps a building fund or something like that. And so in many ways, stewardship is a word that needs to be reclaimed in the church. And so when I think about stewardship and when we talk about stewardship, our simple definition is the use of God-given resources to accomplish God-given goals and objectives. And so when you look back at the word steward, a steward literally means someone who is a keeper of a house. So it was, back in 11th, 12th century England, it was someone who was appointed to take care of the house of somebody else. And so when we think about stewardship, it's the act of doing that. And so as stewardship applies to our finances, it's the act of taking care of somebody else's money. But really, stewardship in our view is about more than just the money. It's about helping people have a mindset of how do I live into whole life stewardship? Because everything that I have, all of my abilities, all of my education, all of my mind, and all of my resources have all been given to me by God. And so how do I use those in a way that honors the provider of those and also is in line with the owner, which is God's view of how I should use those things.
Hmm. Well, speaking of which, yeah, that's such a good definition. And, you know, a lot of our listeners that are on the podcast, they are all, you know, many of them leaders in local churches. And so what would be your recommendations for them? Or, you know, how do we go about the process of maybe some people call it like a stewardship ministry, but how do we go about the process in our own local churches of being able to help impart, if you will, this biblical understanding of stewardship?
It's a great question. You know, first of all, I think whenever we think about imparting a stewardship ministry, it's helpful to have a definition for what a stewardship ministry is and what it isn't. As we talked about the confusion and maybe even the hijacking of the word stewardship, I think that a stewardship ministry too often has a connotation of a fundraising ministry. And I really think that it's important to understand that a stewardship ministry within a church should not be a fundraising ministry. You know, if you think about it, it's like your neighbor who's always trying to sell you something. If you see him outside their house, you're never going to go outside. And so if you have a stewardship ministry and you have a fundraising focus, then whoever's in charge of that ministry is going to be that person everybody wants to avoid, because they're just going to ask them for something. You know, I think the number one understanding people have to have in a stewardship ministry is that it is not a fundraising ministry. Now, it may result in increased giving within the church, but that's just a byproduct of people understanding what the Bible has to say. So, you know, when I define a stewardship ministry and what it really is a discipleship ministry. It's an idea of we're trying to have lasting change within the hearts of the people. And so to me, it's a very fundamental discipleship type of ministry that deals with a heart. It's really not a technical ministry at all. I mean, there's some technical money parts of it, but if people don't understand the emotional and psychological aspects of money and how they relate to money, then the change really is not going to be lasting that people have in their lives. So I just to close that thought for a quick second, that a verse that always comes to my mind when I think of a discipleship or this type of a ministry comes from 2 Corinthians 12:14, and Paul says, "I seek not what is yours, but you." You know, this 2 Corinthians has one of the great fundraising letters in all of the Bible, in chapters 8 and 9, and so Paul's saying, "Look, I'm encouraging you to give." But it's not because I want your money. It's because I want your heart. And that's what God wants from our people. So we have to approach it by we want our people's hearts and them to grow closer to God through this.
No, absolutely. That's very good. Just one thing I'm kind of thinking through here is, you know, depending on, you know, maybe a lot of the listeners that are out there. I mean, you know, we've got folks that are serving with kind of the typical church in America, maybe 100 or less people, all the way to, you know, some of the largest churches and ministries in America. Mm-hmm. And when you put it this way, in terms of, you know, what is a stewardship ministry, I think these principles really apply, really no matter the size of our congregations or the scope of what we're doing. Would you tend to agree with that in terms of really this is such a key aspect of a church, no matter kind of where you fall at in terms of size or scope?
Absolutely. I think, you know, I think that this money area is an area that churches, they tend to go in extremes, I think. I think they either talk too much about it and it becomes, you know, people just kind of cringe when they walk in the doors, or they just don't talk about it at all. And perhaps, you know, right, the pendulum of time swings back and forth. And I think right now we're in a time where people just don't talk about it very often. And in my opinion, I think money is the biggest challenge to people living lives fully committed to God. I think it is such a hurdle in so many people's lives that they don't realize how deep-seated of an idol their money is and their lifestyle is and all these things. And so when it's not talked about and when everybody you look at around you is living exactly the same way, it's impossible I think, for people to identify that they struggle with it in their own life. And it's really dangerous. I don't want to overstate it, but our relationship with money has such an impact on our relationship with God and others that if we don't address it well, then the world's going to address it. And we all know that the messages we receive on a daily basis in that way are not edifying to ourselves nor to the church body.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more with that. Just kind of thinking about the culture that we live in today and all the messages that are surrounding us. I think as churches, we're kind of fooling ourselves if we think that if we, you know, don't talk about these topics or we don't, you know, pursue having a stewardship ministry, that somehow it's all just going to work out, right?
Right. That's right. So. You hope they'll figure it out on their own. And, frankly, part of it is that I think it goes all the way through church leadership, where people just don't feel comfortable with their own money. And so I end up not talking about it.
Well, hey, Michael, I think I've seen in, you know, some of the materials that you guys have, great materials that you put out over the years, that you've talked about the five different categories of people, and these all start with S's. So can you tell us a little bit about, a little more about those five categories and how they relate to stewardship?
Yes, absolutely. As you alluded to, we call them the five S's. They're struggling, surviving, stable, secure, and surplus. And if you've been around stewardship ministry, you may have seen these in one form or another. Thrivent Financial uses these same five S's. Christian Stewardship Network uses three different S's, and they all are fairly similar. But it's they identify, the way we try to identify them is based on margin. So it's not so much how much you have and how many dollars are in your bank account, but how much margin you have, because that's really where the rubber meets the road in terms of how you are doing from a health perspective financially. So someone who is struggling is someone who's just underwater. You know, they have more expenses than they do income. And that can happen to people who make a lot of money. It's remarkable to see, but it oftentimes happens at a lower economic level. But so you have those who are struggling just to find food, if you will, or make their bill payments each month. And then you have surviving. Those are type of people who are just living paycheck to paycheck. Stable is people who have a little bit more and are able to save a little. Then secure, you're saving for long-term goals. And finally, surplus, you're able to really take and save for even further, pay off your mortgage and do things like that. So it's all really based on how much margin you have in your life and in your finances. So we try to talk about how each one of these categories has different needs within a stewardship ministry. And so often what we see, the stewardship materials really focus on your struggling and surviving and perhaps some in the stable. So I think a healthy stewardship ministry is going to minister to all five of those levels. And frankly, you know, people worry about dealing with the surplus person, the person who has a lot of extra. And I think a lot of pastors think, well, I don't want to look like I'm playing favorites, but that's oftentimes the most neglected group of people in a church because of that fear. And so those people often are very lonely and have no answers and aren't being coached and taught what the Bible has to say about their finances. So we try to help people see, look, you need to be dealing with all five of these areas because everybody has struggles, and it all really comes back to our heart relationship to money.
Hmm. No, that's really true. And I guess as you're sharing that, what immediately comes back to for me personally is I just think about, you know, all the different stories in the New Testament about Jesus, mm-hmm. you know, and how he felt so comfortable around all types of people throughout society, regardless of their status. So he was really a great model for us, I think, in that area.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, now that we've laid kind of the biblical foundation for this topic, Michael, I think let's take a quick break, and we're going to hear from Tracy on our church engagement team with a great free resource that you guys are offering to all of our podcast listeners called The Four H's of Financial Wisdom. We'll be right back.
Well, what a great discussion so far on the topic of stewardship. The Ron Blue Institute has provided ECFA with an interactive infographic worksheet titled The Four H's of Financial Wisdom. It breaks down our heart, health, habits, and hope in an effort to guide our mindset toward a God owns it all philosophy. Get yours free by connecting to churchexcel.org and visiting the Gift Administration section of the Knowledge Center. If you would like to engage more with the Ron Blue Institute, visit ronblueinstitute.com for resources, videos, and wisdom for all of life's financial decisions. Well, now let's go back and continue this great stewardship conversation.
Hey, well, thanks so much, Tracy. And we really do encourage folks to take advantage of this free resource. Again, it's the 4 H's of financial wisdom, and it's available on our ECFA website, both for our members and to the Church Excel community.
So I guess now, you know, we've kind of talked through, you know, what is stewardship from a biblical perspective, and we've talked about, you know, why churches, you know, we've really addressed the why of having a stewardship ministry. Maybe just getting real practical here, Michael, for some of the churches that, you know, you guys have worked with over the years. What tips do you have? What considerations for churches that are really just kind of thinking, how do we start? How do we get started taking the first step in having a stewardship ministry?
So what we have found in working with churches and talking with groups that have done a lot of work with churches, and frankly, just anecdotally in my own church, is that unless this, you know, whether it's called the senior pastor or, you know, your elder team or your deacon board, whoever really is in charge of setting the direction of the church, unless that person or those people have really bought into this, it's not going to go very far. And so I always say step one is you've got to get your senior pastor on board. So if you're listening and you're not the senior pastor and you say, I want to get my senior pastor engaged, you know, continue to pray for them, continue to give them opportunity to talk. But until they really buy into this ministry, it's not going to flourish how it really needs to. And the reason I say that is because I view a stewardship ministry as filtering through every single other ministry in the church. It's not just its own silo. It should be taught across every ministry within the church. So step one, I would say, is engage the senior pastor, elders, ministry leaders. And then once you've done that, you're going to start taking the real practical steps of identifying who the stewardship leader is. So whether it's hiring a pastor, or whether it's a lay person, or whether it's someone who's already there, you need to identify the person who is going to lead this ministry. And then something that's really simple that needs to happen and people don't do and oftentimes aren't good at it is to begin celebrating simple acts of generosity. So whether that's in a staff meeting or whether that's in church when you do the offering or whatever it is, to be able to just celebrate simple acts of generosity so people can begin to see what it looks like to live a life of stewardship. And that may be time of somebody, that may be actual money, that may be just engaging in a relationship with someone who's very different. It doesn't have to look like a financial transaction. But, you know, I just to take a brief tangent, I think sometimes you hear a little pushback on this area of celebrating stories because, you know, the Bible says in giving, we shouldn't let our right hand know what our left hand is doing. But I think that verse is applicable in certain circumstances, certainly, but there's also the whole of Scripture where you have stories that are told of the widow's mite and Jesus telling that story, and you have the Macedonians that Paul talks about as encouraging the Corinthians to give, as I talked about earlier in 2 Corinthians, and you have Zacchaeus's unbelievable story and transformation, and those stories aren't told to brag on or raise up those people, but they're told to encourage the people hearing those stories and for them to see what it looks like to move into a life of generosity. So I think we need to celebrate those stories. It's amazing what story does to our minds. Our minds are attuned especially to react well to those stories. So I would say celebrate generosity is a huge part of this, and it doesn't have to be big. It could be little things that happen.
Go ahead. Yeah, I was just going to say, I think the testimonies like you're talking about are such an important part of just, you know, energizing our faith as believers. Mm-hmm. And we think about that in so many other areas. But sometimes when it comes to finances, like you say, people are hesitant before they start celebrating some of those stories of generosity. But why don't we, what are some of the other steps, Michael, too, that you've seen? I think the three or four you've covered so far have been great. What are some of the others that you recommend in starting a stewardship ministry?
Well, once you've identified your leader, your stewardship leader, you need to begin to build a team. And this is a really important aspect because this leadership team is going to lead in places that the pastors can or the full-time layperson is. It needs to be spread out. So you're looking for a leadership team of, say, 3 to 8 folks, and it's really important that they're very spiritually mature and very financially mature. And I would say it's okay to ask. And don't be afraid to ask them what their giving looks like and share some stories of sacrificial giving, and just make sure that they are really attuned to what it means to live a life of stewardship. Because I think too often we think, well, this person needs to be a financial wizard. And so you look for people who are in financial planning or who are an accountant or somebody that's has a mind towards finances. And while that's important, what's most important is that they have a heart for generosity. And so it may come in very different packages than what you're expecting. You can train them how to handle the technical aspect. It's not that hard for what we're talking about here. And then a couple other steps. I would say if in larger churches, if you're unfamiliar with Kingdom Advisors, it's a group that trains financial planners and other financial professionals in giving biblical advice. And so they have monthly study groups that are just videos, plug and play. I would encourage you to begin to cultivate those people within your church, because those are the people that you're going to have, that you're going to want well-equipped to refer people out to. And then have an event. Kick off with a sermon series, start a Bible study, do something that is a big kind of church-wide event to kick it all off. And then from that point on, you're just kind of going and looking for opportunities to integrate the ministry all throughout the church.
Well, Michael, maybe kind of just taking a little bit of a sidebar here. One thing I'm curious about, I think those steps are really, really helpful. As you've seen churches that have started stewardship ministries, maybe let's celebrate some of their stories here a little bit, and just thinking through, maybe not even necessarily names, but what are some of the characteristics that you have seen in churches that have really embraced this message of stewardship and generosity? What are some of those characteristics that you've seen?
You know, one thing I have noticed is oftentimes the churches that really, really do this well didn't really start out with the intention to get there. They started out with other ideas and kind of who they were. And so I would say one of the most important things is for the church to understand its vision and mission. Now we're all called the Great Commission to make disciples, but there's, you know, I think there are smaller missions within that, whether it's local, within the community, within a specific neighborhood, or even within a city or a country, or even sending people. So having a clear vision and mission for why it is the church exists, I think is a huge characteristic that creates generous churches, because people get excited to enter into those things that the church is doing. Beyond that, I think the churches that do this well are also really good stewards of their own finances. And that's one thing that the ECFA community does so well, is they help churches become good stewards of their own finances. And if a church isn't handling their own finances well, then they're going to have a hard time leading the congregation to handle their own finances as well. So really making sure that everything is being done above board, everything is transparent and being handled correctly is so important. And two other things I would say is that you have very generous leaders within those churches. So the churches I talked about earlier, having the senior pastor engaged, some of the best ones I see, churches that I see in the stewardship arena, have some of the most generous pastors that you'll see. I mean, their stories are incredible. And it's because they have lived the truth of, my treasure's in heaven, and so I'm relying on God more than I'm relying on how much money I can save or make. And so they have just these incredible stories of faith and trust in God. And when they've lived those, it's a lot easier to teach them and draw people into them. So generous leaders is huge. And then finally, having strong teaching on it. So I think those two things really go hand in hand. When you have a generous leader, they're more likely to be comfortable talking about it. So those are just some characteristics I've seen in generous churches.
Well, Michael, how about, so, you know, we talked through the starting of the stewardship ministry and some of these really good characteristics here. For churches that maybe have a stewardship ministry, or maybe they will have one someday and they want to look back and maybe have some benchmarks or measures of success, how do we look at the ministries that are in place with our church? And I know it's going to vary somewhat from church to church, but how do you think that we should go about measuring success in this area?
Yeah, that's a great question, and it's really a tricky question, because the tendency in a financially based ministry is to say, well, the easiest and most measurable standard we can use is giving. You know, is our giving going up within the church? And, you know, I think that, I'll just say flat out, I think that's the wrong metric. And I really think it's actually a dangerous metric, because whenever, if you set up a standard to say, we're going to measure you by this, then people's behavior is naturally going to be geared towards satisfying that objective. And so, you know, if the objective is more money, well, there's lots of manipulative things you can do to get people to give more money. I mean, I can create plenty of videos that's going to tug on heartstrings of people and you know, if you will, kind of turn them upside down and shake out the coins that are in their pocket. But I haven't really affected any change within their life. So I would say stay away from measuring based on giving. And I would turn towards measuring this like you would any other discipleship ministry. So whether it's a ministry to single moms or a ministry to singles or children, whatever discipleship ministries you have in the church, measure it the same way. So spiritual maturity, growth in giving stories, you'll see a remarkable difference, I think, in the people and the excitement that they have about what's happening in their lives, because they're going to engage in just these remarkable stories that can only be explained by, my heart has been aligned with what God is teaching me about my own finances and my own control of my own finances, and they're not going to be able to really control it. So it's going to be measured more by spiritual maturity and growth than it should ever be by dollars coming in the door.
That's definitely true. And I think we're kind of here in the home stretch, and maybe save one of our clincher questions for last, but maybe this kind of helps tie it all together. Many of us, you know, that are out here and have been in the church world for a long time, one of the top questions is, you know, why don't pastors maybe teach more regularly about these principles? So, like I said, maybe that's kind of a good wrap-up question for us, or ties in some of the principles that we've already covered here on the podcast today. But why don't you give it your best shot at answering that question?
It's an interesting question, and I've actually spent a decent amount of time thinking about it. One of our great desires is to equip pastors to be able to teach on stewardship. It's an area that we believe, we want the church to be seen as the center of financial wisdom. And so for that to happen, though, the churches and the pastors have to become just willing to talk about this more. And so I think one of the biggest reasons that it's not talked about is that oftentimes pastors aren't doing this well themselves. And so they can often feel shame in it. They don't want to talk about something that they feel like they're failing in. And so educating and helping a pastor get their own finances right is a big part of what we're hoping to accomplish. And so that, I think that's really reason number one. I think there's two other main reasons, and the next one is that pastors oftentimes feel inadequate to talk about it, and I think that comes from thinking, well, the people in the pews, or in the chairs, I guess we're in more of a time now where there's more chairs, but the people in the audience know more about money than I do as a pastor. And so if you come at it with this perspective and you think, well, I don't have anything to offer them, I think that you're coming at it wrong, because studying scripture, the Bible has so much to say about money that a pastor is probably the most knowledgeable person about money in the entire congregation. And so they need to feel confident in it, but oftentimes I think they feel like people don't want to hear them because they're not quote unquote qualified. And then finally, there's this idea that I think too many pastors feel like if they talk about money, it's going to seem and come across as self-serving, that they're just trying to preach to increase the money that comes into the church, whether that's for their own salary or a bigger building or whatever it might be. People may view it as them being self-serving, and so they really want to walk that line. And while I think that that's important, I think that that oftentimes gets taken too far. And so I think pastors need to feel free to say, this is why I'm talking about money. And going back to that 2 Corinthians verse, it's not, I don't seek what's yours, I seek you. And that's why I want to talk about this. So I think those three things are probably the biggest reasons why pastors don't talk about money regularly.
Hey, I think you did a pretty good job with that tough question. Just want to say thanks again, Michael, for this time that you've invested in us. Thanks for all that you've shared. And I think just this whole perspective about stewardship is just going to make our churches stronger. So I just want to say thanks again for the opportunity to visit here with you for just a few minutes.
Well, great. I appreciate it, Michael. It's been a blessing. So thanks for all y'all do.